in the book of Revelation, one of the promises to the overcomer is a white stone with a name written on it, a name which no man knoweth except him that receiveth this white stone. You see this in book of Revelations chapter 2 verse 17. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Now this is the promise to the church. Those who hearken to the message from the eternal Spirit of God. We see in Revelation chapter 2 verse 12 that this is a message to the church in Pergamos. So there were seven messages to seven churches. And all this represents the manifold wisdom of God. Represents the ministration of the Spirit to the church. To bring the church back to the place where it belongs. What is the church? The church is the body of Christ. The church is the integral part of the Christ. There's no such thing as a body there and a head over there. They are one indivisible body. These are the things that we lost. This knowledge that we lost to the darkness of this age. We lost out on that realm of the Son of God, and in transgression we were driven to a place where Satan dwelleth. That is where the seat of Satan is. Let us quickly read this, brush through this message to the church in Pergamos. It says, this thing said, he that has the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou hast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in the days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. We just read this. And will give him the white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Spirit of God sends this message to his messengers. Is the voice of the Spirit seeking to redeem his church that finds himself where Satan dwelleth, where the seat of Satan is, which is the carnal dimension far away from God's dwelling place in the spirit. Praise God. And he speaks here about the two-edged sword, this sharp two-edged sword, you know, which we see coming out of the mouth of the Alpha and the Omega in the book of Revelation chapter 1. This same sharp sword with two edges is that same sword, you know, that we see in the book of Genesis, that goes round and round the Garden of Eden. See, and it makes war. It wars against anything that is not in agreement with the Christ. How can you be in agreement with Christ? It's simply by remaining faithful to the name of the Lord, which in reality is your true identity, it is your life, it is your personality, it's who you are. To understand this thing, just follow on this message. We go deeper. So you see here that the Lord is sending this message to his messengers who have found themselves in that dimension where Satan dwells. And his intention is to redeem them and bring them back to that place of perfection in Eden. See it? Now we see here that the Lord subtly mentions the doctrine of Balaam. See it? Whose work was to place a stumbling block before the children of Israel by causing the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Praise God. Now, these things are spiritually discerned. In the days of old, we know the Israelites ate food sacrificed to gods and all that kind of stuff, and we know they committed fornication with the Moabite women. So, but all those things are shadows. The doctrine of Balaam is simply the wisdom of this age that causes men to lose awareness of their true body, which is the Lord's body. Paul writes in a letter to the Corinthians that, don't you know that you are the Lord's body, that you are not your own? He writes that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. So, but he that is joined to the harlot is one flesh. And it says, flee fornication. Flee fornication. When we walk in the flesh, spiritually speaking, we are termed fornicators. Hallelujah. Let's quickly turn to the book of Corinthians for those of us who are new in this kind of messages. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll start from verse 30. When you have time, you can read on from the beginning, but I'll just start from verse 13 because of time. See, it's a meat for the belly, and the belly is for meat, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Praise God. And God has both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his power. Know you not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know you not that he that is joined to a harlot is one body? For two said he shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinned against his own body. Hallelujah. You see what he's saying here? Paul is trying to identify your body, our body, as the body of the Lord, which is a spiritual body. He's saying here that we are one spirit with the Lord. Praise God. Now, when we are ignorant of these things, or we walk contrary to this revelation, we are termed fornicators, spiritually speaking. That's why we are admonished to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. So that you do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. See, when we break this marriage vow, this union that we have, this oneness in the Spirit, this is what is called fornication. And the doctrines of Balaam is the doctrine and the wisdom of this age that seeks to kind of split, divide you from the reality of your oneness with the Spirit of God. That is what this age is all about. This world, the wisdom here, is not even aware of this union. From the moment you are born into this world, the first thing they start teaching you is who you are from this or from the outer perspective. And nobody ever tells you that your true body is that eternal body of the Lord. That body that spans eternity. Nobody ever tells you this. They give you they pin you to a new identity and to a new world, and these things, you know, bring sorrow and pain and all kind of problems for you later. You become bound to the beggarly elements of this age. This is the doctrine of Balaam. That doctrine of Balaam is all nested in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's all of it. You can call it Balaam, you can call it, all of it comes from that tree. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It is there to edify you after the outer and to deceive you into thinking that you have a physical existence or something. See, and as long as you walk ignorant of the Lord's body, which you are, that eternal, transparent spirit that spans eternity, you become at the receiving end, you find yourself at the receiving end of the flaming sword of God. That sword that drove Adam out of the Garden of Eden. You can't stand before the word of God. You can't stand before the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. You see? But God is here to redeem his church from that state where Satan dwelleth. Satan represents that which does not know the things of God. Satan is not even aware of the Lord's body. I tell you, if Satan was probably aware of the Lord's body, he probably would not have killed the Lord. Satan is not even aware of the Lord's body. He's not aware of truth. Thou knowest not the things of God, but the things that be of men. Ignorant. See, it's a mind that feeds on dust, which is vanity. It is it's not aware of the deep things of God. That's Satan. And that is the wisdom that rules in this age. Men are subject to abject vanity. Vanity. Nothingness. Roaming up and down and just making a fool of themselves. Hallelujah. But he's here to restore us back, giving us a revelation once more of Christ, of who we truly are, and all of that. Hallelujah. Now, God is here saying, repent, or else I will come quickly and fight with those who hold the doctrine of Balaam with the sword of my mouth. Now, these things are continuous. At the coming of Christ, as is being manifested, as the revelation dawns, see, there is a warning, discomfort in the members of those who continuously cling on to the lie. You can't rest, you roll on your bed. You'll be tormented day and night. You can never rest until you get yourself back in alignment with the Lord's body. Praise God. Bear it in mind that all these messages that we see to the churches is simply to restore the church back to that perfect man which we call Christ, the man of God. The man of God is the man of the Spirit. The man of God is the man known of God. It is that man that is perfect without guile. Hallelujah. Praise God. The message to the church of, you know, in Pergamos comes forth. Well, let's go quickly to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12. Let's have an idea of what the ministry of the Lord is all about. Ministry of the Lord is not about building big churches here and there. It's not about gathering big flock and congregations. See it? It's not about looking forward to gold mansions in the sky. It's not about waiting for Jesus to come in the sky. But rather, let us see the will of God, the work of the ministry. While you begin to hear messages like this coming forth from God in this hour, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Now, you can read from the beginning of time. It's talking about the ministry, hallelujah, that has been committed to the church. You go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he may fill all in all. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So you see here that the work of the ministry, the evangelists, the prophets, the whatever, which are actually embodied in that one man we call Christ, the work of the ministry is to perfect us, to bring us back into that perfect man, unto a perfect man, the Son of God, who we are. Praise God. Now this is the knowledge that Satan robbed us of in our, you know, entrance into this age, into our descent into mortality, into vanity. We were robbed of this precious knowledge. You know, we're not just talking of head knowledge here, we're talking of conscious knowledge. And all these things are being restored right now. Praise God. And all these various voices and winds of doctrines that are only dead, lie in wait to deceive. Now you know all these doctrines are there to deceive. Various doctrines we see here and there, dispersed all over the world, in various fairs, they are there to deceive men. So a doctrine doesn't have to just be from a religion. See, your family altars are religion. See, your nations, we're talking here of the systems of men and the systems of religion. The whole world is tossed to and fro by various winds of doctrines, deceiving and deceiving. It leads men into fornication. It leads men to sacrifice unto idols, things that are not God. Vain imaginations. Eating fruits unto idols, sacrifice, food sacrifice unto idols, wisdom, knowledge sacrifice unto vain things, things that are not God. Hallelujah. If anything does not reveal Christ, the Son of God, who is the true God and eternal life, that is an idol. The many, many preoccupations and many, many things that men, you know, worry themselves with, occupy themselves with, are all idols. And he says, little children, keep away from these things. They can't give life. Hallelujah, praise God. They can't give life. Keep away from them. These are the doctrines of Balaam. The doctrines of this age, the wisdom of this age, that drives men away, far away from the realization that they are one body with Christ. When you walk outside that union of your oneness with the Spirit of God, which is the Lord's body, which is your body, what happens is that you are termed as fornicator, and the fornicator goes into all kind of hurts and pain. Hallelujah. So those who hear this message and resist the wisdom of this age and hold on faithfully to the word of truth, those who repent from their past deeds when they walked in ignorance in the flesh and now begin to put on Christ and walk once more in the reality of Christ, to them will be granted the access to the hidden manna, and they will have a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth except him that receives it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I want to concentrate on this white stone today. A white stone. I've seen a lot of pictures on the internet around the place. People expect probably you have a white stone and you have a new name, kind of a new name that you'll be called in heaven. Everybody will be given a physical white stone. But it's not so. Hallelujah. That word white stone, translated in the original, means light stone. A light stone. Reality, it's a transparent stone. A transparent stone. A crystal clear stone. It is a gem. It's a precious stone. A gem. A transparent crystal-like stone. And to understand what this stone is really is, it will benefit you to go back. I'll start off first from the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 6. This was Daniel who had a visitation from heaven. Daniel saw this special messenger from God, and he gave a description of what he saw. So Daniel, it was not given the wisdom, the spirit to understand what was standing before him. But we, upon whom the ends of the world have this revelation today. Hallelujah, praise God. I just started from Daniel chapter 10 verse 6, a description of the man that Daniel saw, the messenger. Hallelujah. It says his body was like burn, his face has the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Like a voice of what? A multitude. Now, what was Daniel seeing here? This same man that Daniel saw, this messenger, gave Daniel a clue of the end times, a clue of the end. And all these things were not even revealed. The significance of all this was not revealed to Daniel at that time. But they are being revealed to you right now as you hear these messages. Hallelujah. Praise God. Who do you think Daniel was seeing here? Daniel was seeing yourself, myself. He was seeing the universal gathering of the body of Christ in that one man. That is why his voice was like the voice of a multitude. Hallelujah. If you go up into the heavens, I can assure you, you will never see a physical man like this. Who will want to see a physical man like this? He doesn't exist. Hallelujah. This is just simply an allegorical presentation of the body of Christ. It's an allegorical presentation of the one who has been from eternity and lives eternally. Hallelujah. His body was like bear. Now what is bear? It's a stone. It's a crystal stone. It's a gem. It's a transparent stone. Oh, hallelujah. Now, this is not just recorded there for nothing. They are there to teach us certain things and to edify us in Christ. This same image is the same image that appears again as the Alpha and the Omega in Revelation chapter 1. Hallelujah. Although in the book of Revelation chapter 1, when the Alpha and the Omega appears, it is not recorded that the body was like bear. But if you go to the book of Revelation chapter 4, when you see the Alpha and the Omega seated upon the throne, Revelation chapter 4. Let's quickly turn to that place. I'll start from verse 1. And after this I looked, and lo, behold, the door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was taken in the spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Oh, hallelujah. And he goes on and on and on and on and on and on. I just wanted to show you the aspect, the appearance of him that stand on the throne. You can see that it's clearly written that what? His appearance was like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like an emerald. Jasper and sardis stones are all precious stones, transparent stones. Precious, transparent stones. And I'm going to repeat, there's no place in heaven that you're going to go up into and see one man, big man, sitting on a chair. You can come the length and the breadth of the heavens, go into outer space, go anywhere you want, you will never see any big man sitting on the front. This is just simply an allegorical, you know, appearance to educate us on the mystery of the nature of Christ. Praise God. A transparent stone, precious gems. That was what is used to describe the body of the Alpha and Omega, even as he appears to Daniel many years later before, and as he appears to John in the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. Somebody might ask that, who told you the one sitting on the throne is the Alpha and the Omega? If you go quickly to the book of Revelation chapter 21 verse 5, you say, it says, and he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these things, write, for these things, these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am what? Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is attest of the fountains of the water of life freely. So you can see that the one that sat on the throne was the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one that is everywhere. Hallelujah. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Look left, right, center, north, east, south, west, everywhere. Hallelujah. He fills all in all. And he's the one that ruleth over all. And bear in mind that we corporately are the ones who inherit that throne. For it is written that in the message to the church in Laodicea, that he that overcometh will sit on the throne, that same throne that I sit upon. If we sit on the throne, it means that we are exactly the way John saw him in the book of Revelation chapter 4. Hallelujah. Remember that the voice of the Alpha and Omega said, I will show you things to come. John was seeing his future. John was seeing himself in his purely ascended state, sitting on the eternal throne of God. Hallelujah. Before Abraham was, I am. Before the Israelites came into view, I am. Before the heavens and the earth came into view, I am. I am the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one that appears and told Abraham to leave his father's house. And I will lead you onto a place. I will make you great. I will give you a new name. I will lead you into a paradise where you find true fruitfulness. I will make your womb fruitful once more so you can bring forth once more. It is the Alpha and the Omega leading his sons back into glory. Hallelujah. He's the Alpha and the Omega elevating the church back from the seat of Satan to the paradise of God, back to the throne where they can rule and reign in that one perfect man which we call Christ. Hallelujah. So you can see that the allegorical appearance is likened unto a transparent stone, a gem, a precious stone, pearl. Hallelujah. All those names are names used to describe the nature of the body of the Lord. It's a purely spiritual, transparent, formless body. Hallelujah. That is the way our body is. Our body is purely transparent. It's a light spiritual body. It is not a physical material body. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That is the resurrection body. To him that overcomes, I will give the white stone with a new name written on it which no man knoweth except him that received it. That is the resurrection body. That is the body of the Lord. The new name is the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It shows the nature that we inherit. Praise God. It's only with that resurrection body, only with that consciousness of the Lord's body, that we can enter back consciously into the Garden of Eden. Flesh and blood cannot enter. It's only that spiritual body of the Lord, that transparent body, that formless body, that can enter into that body, into the Garden of Eden. It's only with that transparent body that we can pass through the flaming sword of Adam in the mouth of the Lord. It's only as we attain, realize that body once more, that we can know our oneness with the eternal Spirit of God. That is the white stone, the light stone. It is the body of the Lord. Hallelujah. It depicts the nature that we inherit. A body that is not subject to the beggarly elements of this world, this age that we live in, where men are subject to change, weariness, where things fade away and grow old and wax old and rot away and die away. Those who rediscover this white stone will never partake of it again. Hallelujah! It is the Lord's spiritual body. I will give you the white stone. It means I will cause you to once more realize your true nature, your boundless nature, your perfect nature, your true identity as the Lord who liveth forever. Hallelujah. This is immortality. This is life. This is freedom from the many, many hurts and the pains and the anguish of soul that men go through. If people awaken to the realization of their immaterial spiritual bodies, offenses will cease. Hallelujah. You are free from that limited nature you had as a man, and you can soar once more in the heights of the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. You can walk through one another without offending one another. See it. You are no more subjected to the limitedness of this world where there is space and all these things. Everything is free, and you walk in a glorious liberty of the Son of God. This is the resurrection body. Hallelujah. This is the gift of God for those who continue in the faith, exercising themselves in this newfound revelation. Be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let this revelation coming forth from God in this hour bring repentance in your hearts. Let it bring a change in your reasoning. Learn once more to begin to walk in the revelation of the Lord. of hosts, which is your true identity. Hallelujah. This is the light stone that is promised to the overcomer in these last days. Praise God. In fact, in the book of Revelation, you go back down to Revelation chapter 21. When Daniel saw the New Jerusalem, you notice that the New Jerusalem also was made with these same precious stones. Let's just read some of it. Revelation chapter 21 verse 19. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third was chalcedony. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprasus. The 11th, jacinth. The 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was of pure gold, as if it was transparent glass. Praise God. You can see the same principle of transparent objects. All these are precious stones, represent objects that are transparent. Praise God. See, the colors that are emanating from these stones represent the, you know, light passing through them at different frequencies, different wavelengths that produce those colors. And you can see that even the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. I remember years ago when we were children, we used to stay in one house where one of the doors was pure glass, a kind of sliding door, very, very wide, so transparent that if you are not attentive, you could just walk through it without knowing. In fact, one of my brothers one day just ran through this glass sliding door without even knowing. See, he was lucky he didn't get injured, but it came crashing down. So you see, when something is transparent, it's like the air, it's like the wind, it's spirit. Hallelujah. It's spirit, it's just invisible. God uses these things to describe the things of the spirit and to know the nature we inherit when we walk in faith. Many of the suffering that men go through simply due to the illusion that they have, you know, a physical carnal body of flesh and blood that is adapted to this world that we live in. That is where the hurt and the pain is coming. People can hurt you, people can rob you. You feel limited, you feel cheated. All these things simply because we are not aware of that spiritual body that feels all in all. So the Spirit says, loosen yourself today. Reject the doctrine of this age. Divorce yourself from this world. Sit and get married once more to Christ. Walk in the revelation of your light body. God bless you. Thank you.
heart.